Good morning. I feel like I've been rushing around this morning. I'm just thank you so much for being here this morning. And as Ryan said, we're going to kind of jump back into our series of going through the Bible this year. And I told Ryan it was kind of cool stopping for Easter because, you know, this whole time we've been pointing everything back to that Easter story, right? So it's good to kind of refresh. This is what it's all pointing to, and jump back into the flow of things a little bit. So I want to know, how many of you have been put in a position to do something that you did not feel qualified to do? Anybody? whether it be, you know, your first child, or, you know, for me, I'll tell you, when I jumped into ministry, I did not feel prepared at all. I remember I was part-time as a worship guy, and I thought that's where God wanted me, worship. That's it, right? I knew worship. I was comfortable leading worship, and maybe that's why God said, okay, I need you to do something different because you're too comfortable, I guess. I don't know. But he started calling me to youth ministry, and I was like, nah, mm-mm. I don't know a thing about youth ministry. I am not qualified. They scare me some, you know. They don't anymore. But you know, at the time, I'm like, yeah, no, I was a teenager once. I remember. I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, he knew it was not in my comfort zone. And yet he called me there anyway. And let me tell you, and we'll get back to the end of that story here at the end of the service, but he took care of everything. Where I was weak, he was made strong. And so this morning we're going to take a look at, so here's what's happened since we left off with the last Bible project. We talked about the walls of Jericho falling, and so we're going to fast forward through all the conquest and all the people that Joshua has been killed, and we're settled into the land now, right? They've been in the land, but something's starting to happen, and that is that they are letting their eyes get off of God and onto the pagan gods and the idols, and it's kind of an easy thing to do. You know, culture moves us, for right or for wrong, right? Culture will shift us if we are not careful. And that's exactly what was happening to the people of the Israelites. Like they were in this culture that, A, they depended very heavily on their crops. And so their trust in God was waning. And so they tried every other god that was anything related to crops and growth and life, and you know, they were bowing down to idols. And God had warned them, and remember, we've talked about this too, God had warned them, hey, as long as you follow my commandments, and as long as you do as I say, and you trust me only, you can stay in the land, and it will be well with you. But if you don't, what happens? You will be kicked out of the land. And so Israel is moving, and we see in Judges this cycle that they start into. And the cycle starts out with they're doing pretty good, okay? And then they'll get their eyes off, and they'll fall into sin and idol worship. And so God will bring judgment. They'll get to the bottom of the rope, and they'll say, Lord, forgive us. We can't take this punishment anymore. And we'll come back to you. And they repent. God delivers them. Rinse and repeat, right? They go straight back into the idol worship, and they start that cycle all over again. The entire book of Judges is that cycle, just going over and over and over. So when we come into our story today, or in our account of Gideon, this is where they're at. They are currently experiencing this punishment. And God's saying, you're off. You're not following after my, you're not keeping your end of the covenant. And so let's take a look at Judges chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to read some of what Howard read this morning. We'll start in verse 1. And I know Ryan said to give you a page number, but I don't think if I give you my page number, that's going to help very much. So, you know. And we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites had made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goats, cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts, and they arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count. And they stayed until the land was stripped bare. And so Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. And then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. And he said this, 'This is what the Lord said, or Lord, the God of Israel says, I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me.' And then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites." All right, we're going to stop there for a second. So here comes Gideon on the scene. And I want to kind of camp here just a second, because it's talking about him threshing wheat in the bottom of a wine press. Now, I've never been, you know, on a farm much, so I had to do some research on what threshing wheat was actually, you know. And so to thresh wheat, they would normally do that in a high place on a rock, like a rock surface. And they would trample the wheat, and then they would toss it up in the air. And as they tossed it up in the air, the wind would blow the chaff away, and the wheat would fall to the ground. Not something very easily done in a wine press, which is shaped like a big tub, right? And so he is going way out of his way to hide this wheat. He was going through some great lengths to do that. And the Midianites had been terrorizing the Israelites for it says 7 years. And if you think about it, much of his, and I don't know how old Gideon was, but this has been going on a long time, and he probably knows this. And by now, you know, if I'm being bullied by somebody, or if I'm being, you know, drove into the ground by somebody for 7 years, at that point, the fight is gone, right? You're tired. You're beaten down. The man was trying to thresh wheat in a wine press. He's seen this year in, year out. We see a man who's obviously scared, who's lost hope, and who's defeated. How many of you have been there? And when you see Gideon, it's really hard to wrap your head around this next phrase. Take a look at verse 12 in that chapter. "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Mighty hero, the Lord is with you.'" Now, okay, so you can't help but chuckle, right? Here's this guy cowering. And it's almost, you know, in my mind, I'm really bad about being sarcastic. You can ask my wife. Like, God comes up and says, "Hey, mighty hero." And I'm sure at that point, Gideon's thinking, "Hey, you're right. God is with you." Notice the phrase that keeps popping up, though. We'll keep reading. It says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." In verse 13, it says, "Sir," Gideon replied. And here you see his hopelessness. "If the Lord is truly with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites?" Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you." But Lord, Gideon replied, he's still fighting him. Like, "Lord, you don't understand." He says, "But Lord, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family." And the Lord said to him, "I will be with you." There's that phrase again. "And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man." Now, Gideon, it does what a lot of us would do in that instance. He continues to have doubts. And he asks for a sign to make sure that this was really the Lord talking, right? And we often do that. We when God calls us to do something, we're like, "I think maybe I'm just hearing this on my own. This isn't God," right? And Gideon's in the same boat. He's fighting it. He's like, "God, you can't be serious." And then he goes through his laundry list of things and why he's not the right person, right? Why he's not that mighty man and that mighty hero. But the Lord keeps saying, "The Lord is with you." Don't miss this. We have already seen this phrase repeated several times in the last several weeks as we've been talking through and we've been studying through the Bible. A couple of noteworthy ones is Moses. God promises Moses, "I will be with you." Remember, Moses was in the same boat. He was saying, "God, I'm not qualified to go redeem your people and bring your people back." And God says, "I am with you." And again, when Joshua takes over, Moses passes away, and God says, "I will be with you just as I was with Moses. I will be with you." And that's the whole changing point, and that's the whole reason why God could look at Gideon and say, "Mighty man, mighty hero." Because it wasn't up to Gideon's abilities. In studying for this morning, I came across this quote from a guy named W. Gary Phillips. And he said this: "The effectiveness of the Lord's deliverance does not depend upon the ability of the human deliverer." I thought, "Oh, that is so good." I'm going to read it again. "The effectiveness of the Lord's deliverance does not depend upon the ability of the human deliverer. The effectiveness of God's plan does not depend or hinge on my abilities. It does not hinge on your abilities. God is going to work out his plan with the people he's called to work it out, regardless of where they're at, because he is with them." The Lord says, "I will be with you." Take a look at Hebrews 11, and the writer of Hebrews talks about Gideon and these judges. Goodness, I might have to ask somebody for a page number. I keep. Thank you. I don't know that that'll help, but there it is. Chapter 11, verse 32 through 34 says this: How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received with what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of their sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. God uses the weak. He always has. And you could go to just about any biblical story and you're going to find some weak people. Even Samson, who seems strong, right? He had a weakness. God uses the weak. And the question we ask ourselves in a human standpoint, in a human point of view, it does not make sense. You know, if I were God, thank goodness I'm not, if I were God, I would not pick the runt of the litter of his clan to go face a huge army. I just wouldn't do it. That doesn't make sense. I'm going to find the manliest man who's, you know, killed a couple lions with his bare hands, right? But he goes to this guy who's threshing wheat in a wine press and afraid of the Midianites. And then he does, even he goes even further in that. If you read on in this section in Judges, and we'll get there in a second. Actually, let's go there now. Judges chapter 7. Y'all are all right if I go off note a little bit, right? Chapter 7, verse 2. It says, that's Joshua. That's not going to give me what I need. Yeah, right? There we go. It says this. The Lord said to Gideon, and Gideon's amassed this huge army, you have too many warriors with you. That doesn't seem like a good battle plan, but let's keep reading. You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they have saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them and went home, leaving only 10,000 behind. Now, if I were Gideon, that would be the point. I'd be, all right, God, what's going on here? But Gideon, he sticks with it. But the Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Still too many. Now remember, this Midianite army, 135,000. He's got 10,000 people. And God said, too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. And when Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. And only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. 300 men. It doesn't make sense. But God says, you know, if you go to the Midianites and you conquer them with this huge army, he's like, I know what they're going to do. They're going to say that their military strength defeated that army. God uses the weak to show off his power. God uses the weak to make sure we know that he is the one He is the one with the power. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians. And this, he's talking about, if you'll remember, he talked about having the thorn in the flesh. And he'd asked God to remove, and we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. I mean, there's all sorts of guesses what that could have been. But it was something that, that kept him humble. And if you look at chapter 12, verse 8, it says, three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When he's with us, then we are strong. Psalm 34 says it this way. 34 verse 2. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. God uses the weak. He calls the weak and says, I will be with you. I will be that thing that you need. I will be your strength. The only thing that we have to do is be obedient and step out. Gideon with his mighty men, his 300 men strong, divided around the Midian army, not with swords, but with clay pots and torches and a ram's horn. And God fought for them. And I think there's a bit of Gideon in all of us. I think that's why I like this account so well, is the fact that I see so much of Gideon in the way I operate when God calls me to do something. I'm afraid to step out. What about you? You know, has God called you to do something? Has he put it on your heart to do something, to start something? And are you left thinking, God, surely you've picked the wrong person? God doesn't make a mistake. When he calls you to do something, when he puts that on your heart, that's for a very specific reason. Because he wants to use you in that. Gideon reminded God time after time, God, I'm the weakest from the weakest tribe. Like, I'm the lowest of the low. I'm far from this mighty hero that you call me. But it wasn't just mighty hero. It was mighty hero. God is with you. It wasn't Gideon and his abilities that made him mighty. It was the fact that God was with him. Maybe you have a talent that you know you should be using for God's glory, and you're afraid to step out in that. And you're hiding it, just like Gideon was hiding his wheat in his wine press. When God calls us into action, we are often timid. Same here. Yeah, there are things that I know that God's wanting me to step into right now that, I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Right? What is that thing that God has placed on your heart that you are saying, God, I'm not qualified for this? We often fear that we're not qualified. We fear that we're not talented enough. We fear that we're not strong enough. And we aren't. We aren't. And that's okay. Because in our weakness, he is made strong. If we're thinking that this is all about us and our abilities, we've missed the point. Because when people see God at work through an individual that they can honestly tell, they're not strong enough for this. That is a testament to his power. It's not about our abilities. It's about his abilities and the fact that he's with us. And if you get nothing else out of this sermon this morning, get this, that the success of God's plan does not rely on our abilities. Thinking so is such a me-focused attitude. God's plan will be accomplished, despite us, usually. Despite our shortcomings, our tendency to stumble and fall, God's plan will be realized. Told you I had a little more to that story to begin the message. When I was, you know, God was really dealing with me to jump into student ministry, I was really dragging my feet because of that very fact of, God, I'm not qualified for this. I've had no formal training at that time. I've never taught a youth group in my life at that point in time. And I remember how many of you know God does a great job of orchestrating and speaking to us when we need it the most. I remember I went to a worship seminar, right? I'm not going to get confirmation on a youth ministry thing at a worship seminar. So I was at this worship seminar, and the lady came up, and y'all, this was God, because her topic was not how you relate to youth in ministry, right? Her topic was how to create a space that is inviting to people to come into in your church. Okay? She was a consultant. This was not meant to be some ministry class. This was just a, here's how to make your facilities look inviting. I thought I was safe in this class, y'all. And she stops and she says, you know, I don't know who this is for, but there's someone in here who's afraid to make a step into something God's calling you into. And my heart went from down here to up here. And she said, and I just want to give you this scripture that has encouraged me. And she gave this scripture, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:24. And it's quickly become my favorite verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Super short verse. But in that moment, I realized that it's not about what I can do. It's not about how talented I am. And you can ask some of the teenagers, sometimes I'm not a very talented speaker, okay? And sometimes I do make mistakes, a lot of times. But it's not about me. It's about he who calls me. It's not about what I can do on my own. It's what he can do through me if I am just willing to do so. And that's exactly what Gideon, God impressed on Gideon. And Gideon kept, even after the fact, was trying to test God. You know, he put out the fleece, said, God, if this is really what you want to do, you know, put the dew on the fleece and not on the ground. And then God did that, and he's like, well, shoot, that could happen. Let's try it this way. God, let's try it again. Let's make the cloth wet and the ground dry. And God did that, right? And God was trying to impress to him, Gideon, I've called you. Go in the strength. It says it. Go in the strength that you have. Don't act like you've got bigger strength than you have. Go in the strength you have. I have chosen you. I will be with you. And so we should all be encouraged at the fact that God uses the weak, and this means he can use us too. For whatever that he's placed on our hearts, because he is with us. There's another place that we see that statement, and I always want to drill this point home. Is in Matthew 28:19. the Great Commission. You know, lest anybody look at me and say, well, God's not really put anything on my heart yet. Well, God's put this on everybody's plate. And this is the Great Commission, and it reads like this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all these commandments I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He wants to use each and every one of us if we'll just let him. And if we'll just trust that he has the strength, not us, that he has the strength. As the band comes up, I never want to leave this time, this place, without making the plea, you know, if you've never made Christ your Lord. That's the first step. God wants to use you, and he's given you unique abilities and gifts to be used in his kingdom. But you have to make that first step. And so if you've not made that step of devoting your life to Christ, today's the day. Because if we identify with him, he's promised, I will be with you. But a lot of the times, just like the Israelites, we like to run. And then we like to say, God, where were you? Come back to him this morning. If that's you this morning, I encourage you to come up. I'd love to pray with you. I think the baptismal is somewhat warm. Even if it's not, we'll deal with that. But we don't want to leave this moment without giving you that opportunity. So let's all stand and let's pray. God, we love you. God, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross to save us. And God, you've said in your word that you've saved us for good works that you've prepared for us. And we know that those good works without you are impossible to us. But God, we just pray that you will help us to walk in the strength you've given and know that you are with us. And God, to rely on your strength. God, that we can be fully committed to you. And God, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.